Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Akun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me, as always, is my co-host from Ref the District, full press coverage, and of course, right here on FGT, it's Trevor Storrs!
Every week the intro gets better and better, man. Look
I'm getting better at it. All right. Yeah, see, at some point, I just want to be your hype man, Trev. I just kind of want to walk around behind you. And, like, when you walk into places, I'll be like, entering now, Trevor Storrs! You know?
That would be cool.
You know how, do you ever see the old movie, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
Yeah,
and he has a guy walking behind him with his theme music. That's like me. Yeah. That's going to be me. I'm going to be walking around with theme music. So speaking of weird things that I walked into this week, we were talking pre-show that, you know, I haven't had a chance to go out and see a movie in a while. And so I've been excited about how streaming services have brought movies from the theaters directly to us in very short order. Like Paramount and Peacock, they've been doing a great job of bringing movies almost like a month and a half or more than 2 months after release in the theaters, which has been great. And I was all excited to see what Paramount Plus is going to bring us this week. And they bring us 80 for Brady. And I'm like,
oh, damn it.
I'm like, ah, damn it. So that being said, you know, and we did talk about this before, like, I'm not exactly sure who the target audience is. Obviously, Trev, you and I, we don't fit the target audience. Because I think it has to be women over 80 who are friends of Tom Brady, who are fans of Tom Brady, who live in the northeast part of the country. So we completely strike out on all those things, I'm pretty sure. Absolutely strike out on all those things. So anyway, that's my disappointment for the week. Pretty bummed about that. But let's turn to something that's exciting and that I'm excited about, and that's this podcast, because we got lots to talk about this week. We're going to keep doing what we did last week. Last week, we broke down the top quarterback in the NFL draft coming up just around the corner. And this week, we're going to talk about the top wide receivers, running backs, and tight end draft prospects coming up in the NFL draft. So this is going to be so much fun. Let's get this started. And obviously, we're going to be super biased about our own teams because we're going to be like picking the best possible players for our own teams. I already know it. I can see it already. But that being said, let's start with the wide receivers, because this is actually a relatively solid wide receiver class that we have this year. And this is in no particular order, although looking at the big draft board from PFF, again, we're kind of going in that order. But, you know, people can disagree on the order in which these guys will go off the board, because they do have different strengths and weaknesses. And we're going to start with the guy that I have the big man crush on, and that's Quentin Johnston out of TCU. Because I've not hidden it at all. I completely own the fact that I have a huge man crush on Quentin Johnston. I think he's going to be great in the NFL. He was terrific at the NFL scouting combine, but more importantly, in 2022, he recorded 60 receptions on 1,069 yards and 6 touchdowns. Everyone thinks he has a very high-end skill set, runs great routes, is very fast, and they've made a lot of comparisons to wide receivers like A.J. Green and Julio Jones. So certainly someone who we think can be really, really impactful there, not to mention that he's 6'3 and 208 pounds, and he has a nice wingspan as well. So he has lots of range, and he's tall, and he can get up and get those big 50-50 balls. So everybody knows how I feel about Quentin Johnston already, but what are your thoughts here on Quentin Johnston, Trev, and where do you think he might want to end up?
I'm with you. I think he's probably one of the best receivers that there are in the draft. He helped Max Duggan look like a really great quarterback. Helped them, you know, get their butts kicked at the end of the season, but they got there.
It was.
I mean, at least they got there. So if for him in the draft, if I'm looking at it, I can see him falling down to like number 8 where the Falcons are picking, since, you know, they've got Kyle Pitts, they've got Desmond Ridder, but they really don't have a good wide receiver right there, like with Kyle Pitts. So I can see them taking him there at 8. And then maybe your Chicago Bears at 9 from the guy from Carolina. I could see him there too as well. You know, give some another weapon for Justin Fields to help him be the quarterback that we're all looking for him to be. So around the 8 or 9 area, I think the first wide receiver will be him, and that's I think where he'll go.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think there's – I mean, obviously, I would love it if he became a Bear, but I think this – to be practical, they're probably going to go of an offensive lineman, an offensive tackle. You know, I've been on record of saying that Peter Skoronski is a guy they should get top-end left tackle there because they really need to protect Justin Fields. I mean, he's going to get absolutely destroyed if they don't get more protection for him. And let's be honest – that's basically the asset that we're building on right now. Without Justin Fields, we basically have no one. So I think that's a – but that being said, Skoronski may be off by then, right? I mean, it's possible that somebody may trade up to get him. Everyone can probably use some help on the offensive line. I would love if we – I mean, and before we – and let me just be clear. Before we got DJ Moore, I was all in on getting Quentin Johnston. The only reason why I'm not all in now is because we got DJ Moore. We had Chase Claypool, who we traded for last season. And I could see Quentin Johnston actually landing up being a Patriot, like in the early mid rounds. That would be really great place for him. And that would suck for everybody else. I don't, you know, speaking of places that we don't want him to end up, I could see him ending up somewhere around there. So, and if the Houston Texans take a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick, which I expect they will, I can see them going ahead and taking a wide receiver in their pick 12. And wouldn't that be something, huh? If they were able to get one of Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and then pair that with Quentin Johnston, I think that would be just out of this world. it would be equivalent of, like, you know, how the Bengals did it by getting – I mean, obviously they didn't play together in college, but it's like, you know, Joe Burrow and then Ja'Marr Chase, like top end. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be something that would be amazing to see. So, I think we're all in on Quentin Johnston there. No surprise there. And he will probably go in the early first round. So let's go ahead and talk about the next wide receiver on the list here. And some people can differ here, but Jackson Smith – and Jigba is the guy that's been most likely looked at as the number 2 wide receiver in the class. He is we don't have a lot of tape on him because he had a hamstring injury that led him to miss most of 2022. But in 2021, he absolutely blasted it. I mean, he absolutely looked amazing. 94 caught passes for 1,606 yards and 9 touchdowns. And also an amazing Rose Bowl performance that led the Ohio State Buckeyes in a comeback win over Utah. So, I mean, he has speed, athleticism, playmaking ability. I mean, the guy looks like the whole package. It's a little bit interesting because obviously he's coming off of injury. He didn't do he didn't participate in the entirety of all the drills for the combine. But what do you think here about Jackson Smith and Jigba?
I think he is one of the better receivers in the draft as well. Just to know how good he's going to do. Like you said, he skipped a couple of drills during his combine and pro day, and he's coming off of that really bad injury there towards the ear. So you don't know if he's actually going to be ready right at week 1, week 2, maybe by midweek. You just don't know the severity of the injury. But if Quentin Johnson was to go first off the board out of wide receivers, he'd definitely be next. So if we say Quentin went to the Texans, I can see him going to the Patriots or the Packers at 15. You know, they've been in the market for trying to get a wide receiver for a long time, and they end up, I don't know, going somewhere else. I think if you have Jordan Love, you need somebody that security blanket because Alan Lazard's gone. Might as well go to the Packers at 15. And then if not there, I can see him going down to even possibly Seattle maybe at 20. I think Seattle has the 5th pick as well, and I see them going somewhere else to help out Geno Smith there immediately and then go down and get a luxury wide receiver down there in Seattle. So yeah. I don't know. He could go anywhere. He can go further down, and depends on what other people do and what they need. But he's definitely a top 15 pick at wide receiver if a team needs a wide receiver.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, the one thing that did bother me a little bit is his broad jump at the combine. I mean, obviously coming off injury and it being a hamstring injury, he ended up doing, in the top wide receivers, he was way, way, way down there. He had 10 foot 5 inches. I mean, I think that was like 20 something on the list. And just as a comparison, Quentin Johnson had the second best broad jump in the combine at 11 feet 2 inches. So he was like that's half foot, more than a half foot shorter than that. And it makes you kind of wonder if there is a problem with that hamstring. But that being said, he was fine otherwise. You know, I didn't think there was any other issue with regard to his performance at the combine, and everyone knows what he did in 2021. I think what you've highlighted is the big problem is that we just don't know what's going to happen when he comes back. The one thing that gave me a lot of confidence, though, is that on the three-cone drill, he had the best three-cone drill of any wide receiver in the combine in 2023 by a long shot, by a huge margin, 6.57 seconds. The next best was 6.85 seconds. So he was so much faster, and typically – that is an indicator of his ability to switch directions on the fly. I can see that making him a very dangerous receiver, and you don't need straight ahead speed to do that, right? You just got to run really good routes and when you cut, man, you're open. So I think that is a good thing. The only problem is that Smith and Jigba is more of a possession slot receiver. So I don't know if he fits everywhere. You know what I mean? It's like one of those guys where you kind of have to have a need, I think, to want to squeeze him in. You know, I'm just not 100% sure where he would fit in. The place I would love to see him fall to is the Bengals, all the way at the end of the first round. I don't think he's going to fall that far. But can you imagine if they got Smith and Jigba in there with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins? And Tyler Boyd. I mean, Tyler Boyd would be there four, kind of. You know what I mean? Can you imagine how insane that would be? That would be crazy, but I don't think he's going to fall that far. And it's possible he'd go to Buffalo before that. It's entirely possible that he goes earlier than that. I mean, there's obviously a lot of openings that you've noted as well. I think that the Chargers could also use a wide receiver. So there's also that possibility kind of floating out there too. I'm not really sure if there's a clear fit there. Cause like I said, he is definitely a top prospect, but a possession a slot receiver by and large. All right, let's move on to the next guy on the list. And that is Jordan Addison, wide receiver out of USC, 5'11". And he had 59 receptions at USC for 875 yards and 8 touchdowns. He missed a little bit of time due to injury, but he definitely has done quite well when he was on the field. And he doesn't seem to be impacted by any injuries right now. You know, obviously he played with Kenny Pickett in 2021 and he had an amazing, amazing year in 2021, 100 passes for 1,593 yards, 17 touchdowns. So you pair him with a really solid quarterback and he's just going to fly. Clear that's going to happen. So what do you think about Jordan Addison out of USC and where he might end up?
Oh, man. This is another really good receiver as well. Nice possession receiver, 5'11". Kind of short for a wide receiver, which you're looking for, but a great complimentary to wide receiver number one, possibly have the ability to become wide receiver number one if he goes somewhere else, but he could be a great wide receiver number two. And as I'm looking at this first round, I don't know, maybe the Steelers grab him at 17. I know they went with George Pickens already last year, but maybe they need another one to help to go along with him. The Chargers need a receiver, he could go there. If you want to keep Lamar Jackson and, you know, try to help him stay there, he can go to Baltimore at 22.
Right.
Or, you know, he can just fall the way down to 31 to Kansas City. So, I mean, it's just depends on what these teams are looking for. All these teams could use one, but then again, they really couldn't. I feel like they have bigger needs than wide receiver. But if he was to go in the first round, yeah, Chargers, Ravens, Buffalo down there at 27. Like you said, he had a better year with Kenny Pickett than he did with Caleb Williams at USC, which is interesting enough. But
If
you're going to go off pit stats, then you would pick him higher than he probably deserves. But definitely first round, but maybe towards the end, Chargers, Ravens, Bengals, or Bills as well. So.
Yeah, no, I love all those. I love all those. Now, he didn't put up great 40 time, 4.49, so not that kind of breakaway speed you were kind of hoping for there. But he definitely looked good in terms of his general performance at the combine. And I think he obviously has a lot of opportunity there. And others have kind of compared him to Chris Olave from Ohio State in terms of what he could be. I think that's a fair comparison. So, yeah, I can see that happening. I mean, I am not as big on Jordan Addison as I am on the first two. I mean, obviously, I'm hugely in on Quentin Johnston, and I'm relatively in on Jaxon Smith-Njigba, except for the fact that I just don't know what's going to happen coming out of the injury, because we really haven't seen him play in a long time. Right. But I'm not as big in on Jordan Addison. I do think that the height does make a difference. 5'11 compared to 6'3 mm-hmm. and 6'1, that certainly means that he has to get separation. So, but hey, he's got speed. He's got speed. So that is something that we'd like to see. All right, let's go on to the next guy. And I really, really love this guy as well. It's Zay Flowers, wide receiver out of Boston College. I'm a big, big fan of Zay Flowers. He's actually even shorter at 5'9", but man, he's great, because Boston College was a horrible team last year. And I did watch mm-hmm. him play at Notre Dame, and they got absolutely destroyed in that game. But that wasn't Zay Flowers' issue, you know, because even in a bad team, he had 78 receptions for 1,077 yards and 12 touchdowns. He's basically the only thing that was going for Boston College last year. And he's made a name for himself there. So I think there is some significant upside here for Zay Flowers. He is being compared to the likes of Kadarius Toney and T. Higgins, the aforementioned T. Higgins, both of which would be fantastic if that's what he's going to be in the NFL. So what do you think about Zay Flowers and where he should end up?
I can see him dropping all the way down to the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think the Eagles, with their 10th pick, if Jalen Carter is there, they're going to take him to help shore up that defensive line, since they lost, you know, Hargrave and Duncan Flew and a couple other people as well. So if he drops all the way down to 30, they don't have that Kadarius Toney, Curtis Samuel, can do it all slot receiver to go along with their offense. They have, of course, A.J. Brown, the big guy, big play wide receiver. And then you have Devontae Smith, who's your deep ball threat, good route runner. And then Quez Watkins, who's your deep ball threat. They need somebody who can do like jet sweeps and, you know, this and that. And I think it would be a great acquisition down there at number 30 for Philadelphia. So
yeah, that would be that'd be huge. That would be huge. I mean, that would actually,
that's your role in the NFL.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a huge. I mean, if he fell down, that would be a steal. I think if they were able to get him down there. I actually would be interested if he ended up. Now, I hate the Packers personally, but I think he would be a good addition to the Packers. You had mentioned the Packers earlier when we talked about Njigba, and I think that he would be a good fit there, just because they could use a big splash there. I mean, it would just be also a nice, like, you know, parting gift to Aaron Rodgers. Oh, now we're going to draft a top-end wide receiver. Now that you're gone, we're going to draft one to help Jordan Love, you know, get things going. So, you know, we'll see where he ends up. But I really like Zay Flowers. And early on in the process, I was a big fan of the Bears trading back their number 9 pick and getting Zay Flowers later. But I think he's rising up the boards, and he probably will be gone pretty soon thereafter. All right, let's hit the last guy that I have on my list here. And this is going to be probably a little bit more – I mean, there's a lot of discussion here with regard to who the next guy on the list is. I got Josh Downs from UNC up next, but I know a lot of people will probably disagree with that. And I am just, again, I'm falling off PFF, and there are a lot of close calls here at this point going forward. So Josh Downs out of UNC, 5'9", only 171 pounds, a little bit light for a wide receiver. He totaled 83 receptions, though, and 929 yards and 11 touchdowns in 2022. And he played really, really well when he was in college. And he's another one of those dangerous slot receivers that can be very, very impactful in the NFL. What do you think here about Josh Downs of UNC?
I love that kid. Obviously, I'm a UNC Tar Heel fan. I'm kind of biased towards him. Before he got injured this past season, he was Drake May's favorite target on that offense. He was catching balls everywhere, catching touchdowns everywhere. Great route runner, very, very small, very fast, 5'9", 21 pounds. That's pretty small, but like we just talked about Zay Flowers, he's going to be one of those type of receivers, you know, Kadarius Toney, Curtis Samuel, you know, jet sweep, like Hunter Renfrow type, small type receivers. That's probably going to be like a 2 or 3 wide receiver. So I could see him going all the way down to maybe in this wide receiver class we talked about, down to 31 to the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that there, but Adam down there, that'd be sweet. He could go to New York Giants. They need some wide receiver help as well, especially just extended Daniel Jones. So if you, you know, want to prove himself, give him a nice receiver to help him do that. But I think he would be the last wide receiver to go if he went in the first round. So I'm thinking anywhere from the Giants down, he could end up. So
yeah, and you know, I would love to see him. And speaking of where I think he would fit in well, if Sam Howell actually starts for the Commanders, how would you love to have Josh Downs there?
That would be nice. That would be
sweet.
Fit
well.
We've got a lot of wide receivers already, and De'Ami Brown, former Tar Heel, already there. So
yeah. Just rebuild that UNC team.
We'll just build a UNC team of the Virginia, so that's cool.
Yeah, so that could be fun. Anyway, so that's what we got right now in terms of the wide receivers, and let's move on because obviously there can be a lot more discussion on the rest of these guys, but I like Josh Downs. I think he'll be a good value. All right, let's go ahead into Boxing Bell and talk about those running backs, and we're going to just kind of fly through these guys because
we have to
keep ourselves on time here. But, you know, obviously the first one doesn't need any introduction. It's Bijan Robinson. I'll let you chime in first, and then I'll tell you what I think about it because, you know, running backs have started to become less valued in the NFL as of late. And I think sometimes that's warranted and sometimes it's not. And I think Bijan Robinson might be one of those times where it's not warranted to ignore the running backs in the top end of the draft. So what do you think? Mm-hmm. Bijan Robinson out of Texas, what are your thoughts here and where should he go?
He could possibly be a top 10 pick, maybe top 15, top 20 pick. Running backs, like you said, they're usually not really needed or high regarded, but I mean, all these running backs are explosive and score points. And if you want to do that, like the Chiefs do and the Eagles did with their running game, they got the Super Bowl with the running game. So if you want to do that, you might as well go ahead and add him. He can do it all. He can catch out the backfield, strong downhill runner, can do it all. People have the Commanders getting him at 16. I would rather take somebody else, but if he's there, best player available, we'll take him. He literally can go anywhere he wants to on anybody's team in the first round. Honestly, they make him that much better. So, but I mean, hey, Eagles, they lost Miles Sanders. He could go there. Falcons, he could go to the Packers. He could go to the Lions. I mean, the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah.
He looks crazy. So he can go anywhere he wants, but he'll be the first running back off the board.
No doubt. And obviously averaged 6.1 yards per carry for 1,580 yards and 18 touchdowns in 2022.
Yeah, man.
And then he caught 19 receptions for 314 yards and two more scores. This guy is unstoppable. He's definitely an elite grade running back that people should not ignore. I could see him going a lot of places that you had mentioned. I would be interested if they are able to land Lamar Jackson in Tampa Bay and then they decide to draft Bijan Robinson. I could see that being just insane, just being absolutely insane, having two run threats right there. And all the other places you mentioned as well, I think great places for him to land. I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans decide to go grab him if they get a quarterback at number two with their number 12 pick. So that would be a 1-2 punch that could be very difficult to counter as well. Let's get to the next guy on the list. And that is, so, you know, obviously everyone can agree on Bijan Robinson. And I think a lot of people also have their eyes on Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back out of Alabama, 5'9", 199 pounds. He was absolutely phenomenal for Alabama in 2022. And he did damage as a receiver as well. 6.0 yards per carry, 926 yards, 7 touchdowns, 44 receptions and 444 yards, 3 more scores. I mean, a lot of people have been comparing him to Alvin Kamara and DeAndre Swift when he's not injured. Even Travis Etienne and Jonathan Taylor, everyone's comparing him to everybody. So what are your thoughts here on Jahmyr Gibbs?
I think if you miss on the opportunity of Bijan Robinson, you go get this guy. Some people I've heard people say they'd rather have this guy than Bijan Robinson, so there's that. If you miss on Bijan, go get this guy. He's number two running back off the board. If there was another one to go in the first round, he would be it for sure. It's going to be interesting if two running backs go in the first round as well, but if it happens, Biz will be the second one off the board. If the team misses on Bijan, they can count.
We haven't seen it in a while, but I wouldn't be shocked to see something like that. I mean, it also, you know, the Ravens could decide that they want to just revamp and just, you know, go all in on their running game. And then get a rookie quarterback in there because obviously they may have to. They may not have a choice. It'd be interesting if they do something like that. And I could see him fitting in a lot of different places. Let's go on to the next guy here. And this is another one which has gotten a lot of hype. Zach Charbonnet, running back out of UCLA, 6 feet tall, 214 pounds. He recorded 195 carries in 2022 for 1,359 yards. That is a 7 yard per carry average. And also caught 37 passes for 321 yards. He is fast. He looks really good, runs hard, picks up tons of yards out of contact. He looks like a three-down starter to me. What do you think about Zach Charbonnet, running back out of UCLA?
I mean, I really don't know too much about him, but judging by the stats, I would take him in the first round if I missed on the first two running backs, and running back was one of the top positions on my draft board. But if not, he's going to be, like, definitely a top 10 pick in the second round. It'd be really interesting to see three running backs go in the first round, but you never know. If you want to score points, these running backs offer that for what they bring to the table. So if not in the first round, definitely top five pick in the second round, he'll be gone.
Yeah, I can see him going. If he goes for the – I think the Bills taking him late would be a great place for him to go. I mean, they've never been good at establishing the run. That's the one big piece that's missing from them, and they can't seem to get over the hump without it. I think that Zach Carbonnet could really do some damage there up in Buffalo. All right, let's talk about Devon Achane, running back out of Texas A&M, height 5'9", weight 188. He's a little bit on the smaller side, but he has speed. I mean, he is definitely big plays and speed for the Aggies. He had tons. I mean, well, he back in 2022, 5.6 yards per carry, 1,102 yards, 8 touchdowns, 36 catches, 196 yards, 2 touchdowns there as well. I mean, he averaged 7 yards per carry in 2021. I mean, the guy is he's fast. He's just electric speed and an amazing 4.32 40 yard dash at the combine. What do you think of Devon Achane?
I mean, I think he could be a nice running back 2 or 3 option in the NFL right now to get his career going, get his feet wet. You know, a special package type player, like a few plays here and there for him. But I don't know about day one starter for a running back needy team. But, I mean, hey, if it is, I'll take him first round. If not, he'll go top 10, second round too as well. All these running backs are good first or second round picks. It just depends on the team wants to take a risk of getting running back if they need him. But, yeah, definitely around one or round two running back off the board.
Yeah, I totally agree. And let's, because we're running short on time here, we're going to switch on over to the tight ends, because I do want to hit the top tight ends here. And, of course, my favorite tight end on the board, and I am super biased here, Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, 67 catches, 809 yards, 9 touchdowns in 2022. He wore the number 87. He's baby Gronk. So what do we think here about Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, the tight end?
I love him. I'd love him to take him at 16 for the Commanders, get Sam Howell a nice weapon. They're both young. They can both go through growing pains together. That'd be nice. Our tight end room is led by Logan Thomas, former quarterback turned tight end. That never, ever worked in the league, so here we go. That'd be great, but it'd be really weird to see a tight end go first round. But he's, like you said, baby Gronk. I can see him going to Green Bay to replace Robert Tonyan, who just left. Give Jordan Love some love there. Pittsburgh needs a tight end. Well, they have Freiermuth, but they always like tight ends. Chargers need a good tight end. Seahawks need a great tight end. Buccaneers need a great tight end. It could be Gronk down there, so – he can go anywhere in the first round, but
and how about them Cowboys? How about Cowboys?
Johnson, go ahead and get him at 26.
Jaguars would be a good place.
Anybody can get him, so he's the best candidate in the draft.
I think he will. I'm almost positive he'll go in the first round of the draft. It's just a big question for me whether it will be two tight ends in the first round of the draft, because they're also Dalton Kincaid out of Utah, 6'4", 246 pounds, 70 catches, 890 yards, 8 touchdowns in 2022. Ooh. He was a quality receiving tight end. Not quite big enough to be a blocker, but he is a relatively has good technique, but great route running, good hands, athleticism. What do you think about Dalton Kincaid, tight end of Utah?
If you miss on Baby Gronk and Mayer from Notre Dame, go after Dalton Kincaid. Great hands. Like you said, really, really good receiving tight end. Not so much blocking, but maybe he could adapt to that, or you could just have him come in for red zone opportunities or third down opportunities. You know, that's why you know it's a surefire catch because of his hands. Also a great first round selection too, if you want to take a tight end in the first round. It's him and Mayer for sure, top two tight ends.
Yeah, me too. And the only big question is whether both of them will be drafted. One more, and then we're going to call it a day here. Darnell Washington, tight end out of Georgia, 6'7", weighs 264 pounds. He's a big dude, 208 receptions, 454 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But he is a massive blocker. He blocks really well and, of course, runs great routes as well and ran a fast 40-yard dash at 4.64 at the combine. Darnell Washington, tight end in Georgia, what do you think? Where should he go?
He is the DK Metcalf of tight ends. He is a freak. So if you know, he could go somewhere and become your number one and number two passing target. Doesn't necessarily have to be a wide receiver. Like, he's a giant human being. If you can grab him late in the first round, that would be a steal. He might not be NFL ready just now, but I guarantee by the time week one comes, he'll be on the field at some point. He's a freaking monster. I like him.
And I think he'll be gone by the end of the second round as well, because he hits two points. He gets that receiving option, and he's a great blocker on the line. All right, let's hit the air horn of the show. Always go so fast. We really blasted through that stuff, man. We blasted through it. All right, Trev, give us your social media so people can follow you.
I'm on Twitter, at TrevHTTC, Instagram, Trev_Stores, right here at Football Garbage Time Podcast with Hakeem Wong. Got it all started with Full Press Commander George Carmey, and I rested this with Nathan the Stoner, which I'm about to go hop on right now.
Jump over there and listen to him, everybody. Jump over there and listen to him. You will not be sorry. Can never get enough Trev. That's what I always say. All right. You can find me at FB Garbage Time on Twitter. You can find me on the Football Garbage Time page on Facebook. As usual, thank you, everybody, for listening and wasting time with us. And until next time, enjoy your NFL week.